Yeah, boy, it's episode 149, and this is a special episode of the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast, the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight's a special episode, like I said. We're going to do a little Fantasy Football Auction 101 tonight. But of course, our experts, our analysts, they're always here. I don't have any cheesy intro lines for you guys tonight, but Slim, happy to be back on the pod.
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
Yes, it's been a while. I know I even talked to you, what was it, a few weeks ago. Where were we? It was after a hockey draft, playoff hockey draft.
Not me. About, oh, yeah, that draft, yeah.
And I talked about maybe just spitballing just a solo dynasty pod just for fun one day. And
just to get on.
You were all like, what? Tell me. I'll come on. And kind of got my juices flowing after we'd had a lot of beers.
Yeah, well, and there were a few. There were a few going on. And speaking of a few beers and fantasy hockey, ugh, Blister. I don't even know if we should bring that up. But Blister, how you doing tonight?
Excellent, man. It's good to be back on the airways. Been doing a lot of podcast listening and obviously a lot of football research. We were talking before we came on the air about our rookie draft coming up. And in fact, we've already had one rookie draft, Bex. And yeah, the hockey pools this year are not good for us anyways. Little Slimbo there should come in the money there. But yeah, not a good year in the hockey pools. I hope it doesn't carry over to football. It would be a sad, sad long year.
Well, you did do a good job for me in the golf, Blister. I will tell you that. I had the Players' Championship contest for a rookie draft in another dynasty league that I'm in. And the placing in the golf tournament, the fantasy golf, would get you the rookie picks. And so I sent it over to my man Blister because I know he's doing DFS and all those things, and he's got golf rolling, and he picks me team. End of day one, I was down at the bottom of the leaderboard, and he reminded me that it was a marathon, not a sprint. And sure enough, Blister, you got me that 101.
What? Yeah. Got 101 in both drafts?
You got that right.
Yeah, you know, the fantasy golf, I've been doing a lot of it since probably February. And, yeah, I go up a bit, I go down a bit. I'm hanging on right now, but I don't know. I should probably invest a lot more and play maybe higher stakes ones. But I was just saying to Slim before that, like, I listened to some, well, actually, I just, first time ever, I listened to some golf pods this week, but, after I'd already picked my teams for the past tournament
and
just thought, well, I'll see how accurate they were and if I should follow these guys. And, yeah, you know, they're okay. There's a lot of information out there. Golf is becoming quite popular, but DraftKings prices this week are stupid. Like, there's a lot of really talented golfers in the high 6,000s, low 7,000s, where you typically see their price range up in the mid $8,000 range. So for me, what that means, and some I would say, like, you know, it favors the guys with the big bankroll that can put in 150 lineups because they can have all kinds of combinations of these guys, yeah. And they plug it into their optimizer. The, you know, if you got 150 lineups, I don't know if they're putting in 30 or 40 golfers that they like the most, and they spits out all the different combos that they have. And, you know, for that, those people, it's great. But if you're playing in a single tourney or a three max or 20 max tourney, you know, you really have to, you need some more technology. I crunch a lot of numbers, but I just don't like the good players this week are so low, as far as their dollar value goes. So stupid.
All right. Well, yeah. There he is. He's talking about dollar values. So that we'll just segue right into today. We're doing auction 101, and we might as well just get into it. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, yeah. All right. Well, if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. So, like I said, we got auction 101 today. We're just going to go through a little bit of what a fantasy football auction is and why it's so much better than a regular Serpentine redraft situation. So on the show notes, if you go to our website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, you'll see I do have a link there to the, For Dummies series on auctions. So if you want to see that, the Wikipedia post is on there too. But Slim, because you're the commish that brought us into auction, quickly describe for the listeners, what is a fantasy football auction?
Quite simply, I guess it's a way to essentially get any kind of team you want. And for me, that's the biggest reason I like playing it. I can construct a team essentially however I want. I'm not confined by ADP and who's available if I pick 30 minutes into a draft. If I want to get the top two running backs, I can do that. It's impossible to do in a snake draft. So that was what allured me to going there in the first place. I thought there was more strategy behind it, just in terms of budget construction and roster construction, things like that. So, once I started doing it, I became hooked, and I pretty much, if I do one or two snake drafts a year, I mean, Scott Fish, we're lucky enough to be in the Fish Bowl, so that counts as one, but
yeah.
Other than that, that's pretty much the only snake draft I'm doing these days.
So, Blister, why don't you just quickly, Serpentine draft, we go picks 1 through 12, 12 through 1, and we snake back and forth. Blister, just give us quickly 101. What's auction?
Well, auction, we get in there at that order again, and the first guy up gets to nominate, but then it's wide open for anybody that wants to bid on the guy. And like Slim said, you could have the best two running backs and whatever. But what is fun is when you're in a snake draft, you kind of, if you're up 10 spots from now, you kind of have an idea of two or three guys that you might want to pick. But then, and you can kind of zone out and just cross them off the list until it's your turn and take your best available or whatever your need is. In an auction, you can be involved every minute of the auction, because you could be involved in every player if you want to be. And you nominate guys sometimes that you want, sometimes that you don't want. You try to, nominate guys that might not be needed by some people with a big budget so you can get them. And there's just so much strategy when you're always involved in every player. And, they take a lot longer, so you have that camaraderie or the sportsmanship or the lack of sportsmanship that can last for many hours as you riddle a guy and give a heckle and have fun with who's just been drafted and who's been nominated and stuff like that. So it just lasts a lot longer. It's a lot funner. You need to take a little more time out. But the fact that there's a lot more strategy involved because of who you nominate, when you nominate them, things like that. I could talk forever, but I want to spread it around. But when you say like who you nominate, I mean, it could be position scarcity or the first guy. And we, if you go onto our site and you'll look at this auction horseshoe, that thing holds up true every year. When, you tier your players and the very first players in that tier go and the very last players in that tier go, they tend to be the higher dollar values versus the players in the middle. Right. Or it could be, strategy could be you see a Dallas Cowboys fan, so you put Zeke Elliott out there right away, and there's a couple of Cowboys fans perhaps, and you let them go nuts on Zeke. And Slim's really good at knowing who people like, and he loves to try the prices up on players. So there's just a lot of strategy, and it's a lot of fun.
So nominating a guy, you throw him up, the standard is kind of everyone gets $200 to bid on players, and you can go for the gusto and get your stars and scrubs and get, like Slim was saying, top two running backs and, three of the top 10 receivers and then $1 quarterbacks and construct the lineup exactly how you like. And so you do have an order, but it's a nomination order. And that, as Lister was just saying, really comes into play throughout. So it's not just like you throw up any random guy. You really get into it there too. So as you can see, there's a lot more thinking. And what I like about the auctions is that you're just always engaged. You can't say, I got 20 picks. I'm going to go take a leak behind the garage. You got to be engaged all the time because there could be a deal all of a sudden. Maybe you want to make sure you run the money up on one guy just to make sure he doesn't get a guy for free. You're always engaged, and that's what I like about it too, is that There's no time off. So it makes the draft a lot more fun for that reason too, eh, Slim?
We've all been pooped by having too many beers at the draft and the piss break. I remember a few years ago going, I wanted Michael Crabtree. I remember it was a couple of years ago. He was kind of, I thought, the best receiver left. In my set of tears, I had to piss so bad. I left the garage, go take a leak out back. I come back and he'd been gone and I missed the entire bidding. So I thought, ah, okay, whatever. Like, what are the chances? I'll never forget that. So yeah, don't, if you're a commish, try and schedule frequent breaks between rounds.
Right.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard, but I try to do it every year, but, usually to no avail.
So speaking of commish, Slim, sorry, I was just going to segue you right into the next because I want to find this out because you're talking about being with your buddies and commissioning a league. So you had to do this. We had a league established. It was snake draft. It was friends and family. But for us, just like everybody else, it's those heavy bragging rights and a good time. And, you know, the highlight of everybody's summer is when does the fall hit so we can draft. So then you had to come up with this idea of auction, and we had never heard of an auction before. So for our listeners out there that are thinking, you know what, how do I petition my league to move to an auction because I'm sick and tired of hearing how fun it is, we got to make the move. How'd you go about doing that? What are some suggestions for the commission?
Well, I will say it's a little tough, especially if you're drafting with a bunch of guys who've never done it before. It, just like any big change, I think it's hard to get people to willingly want to take that jump if they've never done it before.
Right.
So, I mean, nowadays it's pretty easy in the sense there's a lot of info out there and there's a lot of online leagues you can do, like with sites like MFL and things. To me, they've completely changed the way you can do drafts in general online. Back when we switched over, you were kind of confined to just a few kind of cookie cutter type sites. And,
yeah.
It was tough to, you know, you couldn't really mock draft, things like that. Now I feel like online you can do just about everything. So I would say definitely get them into some mock drafting just to get an idea of what it is. I would direct them to sites like ours, a cheap plug here, but, if you can make them feel comfortable that there is info out there they can use, then I think that they're more willing to make that jump.
Right.
And I mean, I'm confident that and anybody who does it will never go back. I mean, we have some friends who are pretty, pretty big noobs in terms of just fantasy football, even in general. And they've, you know, done these things with through work and stuff like that. One buddy in our friends and family league, he's taken it to his office. And
yeah.
Some of these guys don't know nothing really about football.
I auctioneered that sucker and it was crazy. They didn't know much about anything, but boy, did they love the auction.
They love it. And it's an even playing field because most of them are pretty novice, but I mean, they have fun with it and that's what it's all about at the end of the day is just having fun. And to me, this is one of the most fun ways you can play a fake game. Or I shouldn't say a fake game, a game that's fake though, where we're just, you know, it's like playing a real life board game. So,
On the note of that league, when I think we talked about it last year and we went through, I don't know, we talked about it for some reason, but I found the pretty picture of, one Mr. Romanuk and put that on the website to be the picture for the podcast. Yeah, you know, and it was, I mean, pretty boy picture for the magazines for, our buddies, Oda Gillens, and, he ended up winning that league. So it was a good prediction on my behalf, I'd like to say. And not that I thought his team was terrible, by the way. But, yeah. So, but he ended up winning the whole thing. I don't think he'd ever played fantasy before.
Oh, God. I got a lot of thin shade to throw on some guys that are in that league and also Luke, the winner himself, just because, I don't know, that seems a lot pretty lucky.
Oh, yeah, I think he made a big pickup in season on a waiver wire that really did a lot for him. So, but yeah, I ran into him in the grocery store. I said, "So how'd the league go?" He goes, "How'd the league go? You're talking to the champ." It was unbelievable. The guy, he was sitting beside me. I was auctioneering, and that someone would call it a nomination, and he'd be scouring through his sheets, and I'd lean over, and I'd go, he's about number 35 on your wide receiver list. And then you look up, oh, okay, thanks. Like, you have no idea who the guys were. One that's
Sharp Matthews? Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about you, if he would have been number 35, but yeah. Anyway, so, Blister, you were one of those guys that were sitting in the snake draft league, and Slim comes to you with auction. I'm just trying to get into the heads of guys who are going to be trying to make this move. What were you thinking, and what information would you, like, what information helped you to make the, say yes to auction, and what else would you like to know so that it would have made your decision easier?
Well, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, Bex, but, you know, I guess for me, anytime I'm in any pool, it's just gathering as much information as I possibly can. You know, so I was probably Googling, you know, auction draft strategies or whatever the case may be. And you get a couple tips here and a couple tips there. And actually, was it my first year in there? I don't know if it was my first year in there or was my second year.
No. The first year. Oh, no. It was $7 Guskowski.
Yes.
It was my first year. Yeah. Anyway, so that was the year that I did. First time I think I got into it. And I just grabbed a bunch of ranking sheets and things like that, and I went in. I didn't really look at scoring. Didn't it was all new to me, right? But you guys said old Blister likes to go in the pool, so get he might go in. So of course I did, but it was a big eye opener. And then since then,
you can do it more than anybody.
Yeah, I got a little carried away. I'm doing in the off season. I do golf or whatever I can to keep myself.
Your wife hates us, anyways.
Oh, not. yeah, well, what can you do? But, you know, I guess the big thing, like you mentioned, is finding information. And I think we've worked hard after we sat around and talked about it for a while, is thinking, like, we could put something together. So we did, and we tried to come up with a lot of strategies. And if people look back, a lot of the articles I was just looking on the site, you know, not all the articles with strategy are new, but they can always be applied. Every auction you go into is going to be, you know, slightly different. It just, you know, somebody spends more on one player than they anticipated, or maybe the nomination orders can be totally different. It'll never be the same nomination order. If you went in 100 auctions, there's going to be 100 different nomination orders. They're rarely going to have the same guy at the same point. So that's always going to be different. But a lot of the articles we wrote and put together on strategy was from our experiences and from what we saw, even from mock drafting and everything like that. And we'll be doing that again this summer. We'll start, you know, starting in June, we'll start getting into some mock drafts and some mock auctions and try to get a feel for the prices. And you'll read in there how we complain about robots when you do mock auctions, because a lot of guys will draft and spend their big bucks on a couple guys and they bugger off. So it's not really, really accurate, but you'll get a feel for it. Some guys, when they're drafting, if you're on ESPN or something, they have like the average auction value of a player, so they automatically think that they got a bid up to that, and they'll stop it. It is just kind of crazy stuff. But there's a lot of auction stuff. But you know, every year it changes slightly. Every draft changes slightly. Like there was a big after a couple of years ago when all the receivers were going off. You know, everyone wanted a receiver. They kind of downplayed the running back. But I think last year, guys like Zeke and David Johnson, Lev Bell, those kind of guys are going to make all sudden. I think this year the running backs are going to be the real high priced, and normally they were in the past, the high priced guys, you know. So I'm kind of curious to see if I get into a couple mocks, how expensive they are going to be in comparison to some of the receivers this year.
Well, like they say, you could do an auction and then 10 minutes later with the same group of guys do an auction again. Everyone will have different teams. And it'll all play out differently. Not like a snake draft where it's like, well, the ADP is round 4.02, so that's probably who I'm getting, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and the other cool thing about the auction, too, is it allows for the commissioner to set up whatever league rules, too. So, like, that doesn't have anything to play. It's just about picking your team. So if you're going super flex, if you're going tight end premium or any of these types of leagues, it doesn't matter if you do an auction or a snake. Like, you can apply to any type of league that's out there. We're even doing it in hockey drafts now, right? So you can apply it to all different types of things too. So,
yeah,
awesome stuff. So, like Blister was saying, we saw a void in on the internet for this type of information. We were talking to each other all the time about, oh, what about this and what about that? And so we decided to do something about the void that was out there. We created a little website and a little podcast because then it allows us just to sit once a week and actually talk about this stuff with each other. And if other people listen, then that just is kind of a bonus. We do have a little website if you want to find out some more information about us. It's thefantasyfootballauction.com. Like Blister said, there are some older strategy articles that I just pushed to the front end of the website for right now, so you can take a look at things like, you know, nomination strategies and those things. I push them right to the top because, yeah, they might be dated with the players, but the strategies kind of remain the same. So you can have a quick little read through there. And if you like things, I keep a lookout for the membership page to get fired up, and we'll get those things kind of organized. Blister's got his auction values, early auction values posted, or rankings, sorry, not auction values. Those things are posted on there too. Slim, did you get to yours?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So there you go. We've got to have that all dialed in on the website right now, so you can take a look at real early what we're thinking about players so far. So, guys, that's a little bit about fantasy football auctions. Anything else we need to add before we wrap this sucker up?
No, I would just, like you said, encourage people to go to the website and check out some of the articles. You made a good point. Like, they weren't wrote this spring, so some of the players' names might be outdated, but the strategies are all still there and will be available to answer questions on Twitter, Google, and stuff like that. And we'll start potting regularly now. So as we, what we like to try to do is we kind of do the research and homework for you. So if you don't have the time and if you don't have, you know, the patience, maybe, you know, we can do that for you because that's what we basically eat and breathe right now through football season. So we'll be out there looking into information. We'll have a good feel for how much Zeke Elliott goes for in your auction. So you can kind of plan around that and how much, you know, Keenan Allen will go for $1.50. He pissed me off last year. Anyways, we won't hold nothing back either. So, you know, follow us and, bear with us and, hopefully we can help you be a winner. Because we have been very lucky in our auction. Very successful.
That's true. We've done pretty well, the three of us. So the, website, podcast, Twitter handle is at Fantasy Auction. If you hit up, at Slim for MVP as commissioners, I'm sure Slim, they can ask you questions about, how to commission an auction league, how to set up an auction, do those types of things.
Yeah, I mean, hit me up on social media. Twitter anyway. I'm not a Facebook person, but in the past I've sent copies of constitutions, things like that, just to help people get started. I mean, at least it gives you kind of meat and potatoes of some general rules to help, you know, start off on the right foot and, you know, keep things clear for the other owners and stuff like that. So, I love answering questions. It doesn't bother me at all. I apologize sometimes, especially in the summer. We're all teachers, so I usually am on there quite a bit, but there might be the odd time where I miss a notification or something like that, but I will always try and respond back to you, especially with auction value questions, start-sit type stuff. Drives me a little bit crazy, to be honest. But,
look at our rankings.
Yeah. I don't mind. Well, yeah. And rankings. We'll get into that probably in the next pod that we record, but that's my next bane of my existence. But, send questions. I mean, I know Bex, you were retweeting a bunch of stuff today, and I tried to get to guys. I know Blister was answering a couple of questions that we got to today. So, we'll do the best we can to help you out and mock. Get your guys mocking, and it's just about practice, man. The more practice you can get, the more comfortable you'll be, and you'll be successful.
Absolutely. So, Blister's at Mr. Blister, right? Just at Mr. Blister?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's right, yeah.
No E in there, though, right?
So, no E.
No E.
And I'm at Uncle Buckets. That's with two T's. And then, like we said, the podcast and the website's at Fantasy Auction, and if you go through there, that will... that'll come to us, and then we can filter it through to whomever would be best to answer that, or all three of us answer it. So that about wraps up the auction 101. Feel free to hit up the website, The Fantasy Football Auction. Find us on Twitter at Fantasy Auction. And for Blister and Slim and Everybody else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back.